This is Radio 4. And now, Saturday Night Theatre. John Shrapnel and Fiona Walker, with Nigel Carrington, Lissa Beaumont, Lorraine Peters and Jack Watson, in Personal Luggage by Christopher Dennis.
Oh, please!
I'm very sorry, but I can't. You must see. You'll have to wait till morning, till she's awake.
But she isn't asleep. We've just seen her.
Seen her? What do you mean? Of course she's asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning.
She isn't. We saw her when we were parking the car through the window of that conservatory. She was up a ladder.
Up a ladder? I'll murder her. Honestly. She'll get me the sack. You just wait here. We'll see about this. Wait here now.
Come on, you swine. You little... Oh, sod it. I'll get you, though.
Trouble coming.
Mrs. Wilberforce.
Yes? Oh, hello, Maisie, love.
You're not in bed.
So it seems.
It's 2:11 in the morning.
Fancy. I thought it was a long time getting light.
Look at you, up a ladder. What if you fell?
I shan't.
That's what you always say. But you might well in your condition, and nobody would know you were here. At your age, your bones are very brittle, you know. You could break your hip just like that. And you'd be lying here in agony for hours. Nobody'd know. You'd probably die of shock.
That's right, love. Look on the bright side.
What do you think you're doing, anyway?
Oh, honestly, Maisie, you know what I'm doing. I've been at it for weeks. Trying to get this poor old vine back in working order. Been unloved too long. It'll not recover in my time, but give it a year or two.
The matron will go mad. I shall get the sack for a start.
No, you'll not. You're the best they've got.
And I'd hardly describe you as a poor old soul.
You know I am. Poor old widow woman, crippled with arthritis.
Now, calm down. I tell you, matron will go spare if she finds out you're out here in your housecoat and your wellies in the early hours and up a ladder.
Oh, matron won't mind. I'm coming down now any road. No. She knows I'm crackers. Ah, oh, sod it. She humours me. Oh. Oh, bastard. Got to do something. Oh, swining bloody thing.
Your language.
It deserves it. Pain it causes me. All I can do is curse it. There now.
Thank God for that. You'll never believe it at this time of the morning, but there's two people to see you.
To see me? I'll just sit down a minute. There. Who'd want to see me?
I told them they'd have to wait till after breakfast. Though it doesn't look as if they take any more notice of me than you do.
Mrs. Wilberforce?
Well, I don't want to see them two for a start. I've nothing to say to you.
Please. Please let us talk to you.
I've nothing to say to you. Though I've thought of plenty I'd like to say to your mother and father in the past 2 days, I'll say I have. It's best left unsaid, though, so you'd best not bother me.
Please, please, Mrs. Wilberforce. We know how you must feel, and honestly, we're sorry for what happened. It's just that we're at our wits' end. We don't know what to do. We've been driving round the lanes for the past 2 hours. Before that, we were driving round most of the day. We just don't know what to do or where to go. Please, help us.
How can I help you? I barely know you.
It's the house. It must be the house.
There's nothing wrong in the house. It's a perfect house. If you're trying to trick me into saying something you can use against me, getting lawyers onto me like your mother threatened...
We're not. Honestly, we're not. It's much worse than that. And we don't know who to turn to.
Why turn to me, then? What can I do?
Just listen to us. It'll help us if we could just talk to somebody.
Oh, please.
Look, we'll be no trouble... We'll wait outside in the car till proper visiting hours if need be. But please, let us talk to you.
You know what we should do. I'm sure you would.
I've nothing to do with you. You don't know me.
We feel as if we do.
And it's to do with the house.
There is nothing wrong with...
We're not saying that there is. It's a beautiful house. We know how you feel about it. And we felt the same.
We built it, my husband and me, with our own hands. It was a ruin when we bought it.
We know you did.
And the kids, when they were old enough. That's what started our jacking that way. He's a civil engineer now, you know, in America.
I really must ask you to leave now.
If you'd just let us talk to you. Let us tell you what's been happening. Perhaps you could explain it. Advise us, anyway. Please. Please.
Oh, I've not else to do. What's the harm?
And I think you'd better come through into the lounge.
Oh, let us stop in here. Go on. It's warm enough. And I hate that lounge. Stinks of old people. Be a love. Make us a cup of tea.
You are an old devil. They'd be strapping you in a straitjacket in some places where you carry on. Not making you cups of tea.
She's a love. Well, then, what's it all about? What complaints have you got about the house?
If we can just tell you things as they happened. Starting at the beginning. I promise we'll be telling you the truth. It started the day we moved in.
It was going to be such a happy time. Dad and Mum back together again. First time we'd all been together for years. I thought we could make a fresh start.
It's called Oakfield, but of course now it's ours, we can call it what we like.
I like Oakfield.
Well, I just thought after all our wanderings, separations, we might go the whole hog and call it Chez Nous.
Or Monrepo.
Why not Dunrobin?
Why not Millstone?
Mummy.
Now, seems to be rather a lot of keys. Oh, that's the one. Now then. Here we are. Now then, that's the threshold you'll be carrying Lucy over Tom, as long as you don't mind living with your in-laws, that is.
Talk about your baronial hall. Talk about delusions of grandeur.
That staircase.
This is one of the Victorian bits. Once you're upstairs, though, you're into real Elizabethan. And through here, the lounge and dining room and what the agent calls the character country kitchen. 14th century and older bits of it.
That's lovely.
Putting it mildly, it takes your breath away.
Isn't it, Mum?
You all go round. I think I'll sit in the car for a bit.
You will not. No, you will do no such thing. Just give him a chance.
Through here, the conservatory. The previous owner, old Mrs. Wilberforce, had very green fingers. But
wow!
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Fantastic. Like a corner of the Crystal Palace.
Yeah, it dates from about the same year, I think. It's amazing it fits in so well.
The whole house blends together so well. Yeah. All bits and pieces, all different periods.
I expect all that lovely ivy helps to cover the joins. Who's going to look after all these plants?
Well, I thought we could all do a bit. Tom and I aren't going to be away much now that we're computerized, do most of the work by phone, so...
Just so long as you don't expect me.
You used to love gardening.
I used to love a lot of things.
I'll certainly do my bit.
And me. A house like this is an occupation.
And worth every bit of effort. Green fingers, did you say? I think that old lady must have been a witch to make stuff grow like this.
I expect the glass will need attention from time to time. And we'll need to keep the ironwork scaled and painted.
The upkeep will be horrific.
Yes, here we go. I open the glass doors and we step out into the garden.
Garden?
But how much is ours?
All of it, as far as the eye can see, and further, over that hill.
What, the stream as well? Is that ours?
That just about marks the halfway line. There's that much again, right over the hill, including the woodland. 10 acres of mature native trees, according to the agent, and it's all ours. We'll go out later and bump the boundaries.
It's like having your own entire country.
I should think we'll soon have our own national debt to go with it.
Mum.
Yes?
Well, this is great. What about the upstairs?
Follow me.
I think I'm lost already. Such a maze.
Here we are. The master bedroom.
Wow. Don't keep on saying wow, Lucy. You're not a child anymore.
What else can anybody say? Tom, what would you say?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Palmer, but wow's all I can think of.
Might have known.
All this furniture was included in the sale. Four-poster, Jacobean sideboard, tables, chairs, the lot.
It's like a fairy tale. Or a film set. Carved beams, linifold panelling. Oh, even a window seat. And it overlooks the conservatory. Look, you can see down through the glass roof. Through the vines.
I'll show you the outbuildings, Tom, where we'll have the office. They're practically as good as the house. Janet.
What?
There is an ensuite bathroom through here.
Lovely.
Well, what do you think?
Who?
Well, you. What do you think of it?
Don't
right, I suppose.
Will it do?
Do?
For us. Will it do for us?
I'm sure you'll be very comfortable in here. Where shall I sleep, I wonder?
Oh, well. Come on, Tom.
When did they say they'd be delivering the computer?
Oh, Mum, please. Please what?
Well, give him a chance.
Give him a chance? A chance? I've been giving him chances ever since I met him. And what a waste of my life that's been.
But you said you agreed
that
you...
Oh, no, I didn't. You did, you and him. Thick as thieves, as always.
You promised to make a fresh start. Well, try anyway.
I did not. You did. He did. I didn't. I didn't commit myself to anything one way or the other.
Well, can't you? It's trying so hard.
And I'm not.
Well, are you?
Oh, you don't remember, Lucy. You were too young. Or away at one of those fancy schools we could never afford. Tell me, why do you think you change schools so often? Because your father never paid the fees. The number of fresh starts he promised me. Well, it wasn't just the unpaid bills. Bailiffs, bankruptcies, afraid to open the door, using my name on the headings of his various enterprises because he didn't dare use his own.
But that's all over now. He's successful.
Oh, yes. How long will it last, I wonder? Never does with your father. No, it wasn't just all that. I'd have put up with all that. I wanted to make fresh starts often enough in those days, except I could never find him to make a fresh start with.
Yes, well, that's all in the past now, along with the debts and the bailiffs, and all that trouble with the police.
The debts will be back. Your father never could hang on to money for long. And the rest will follow. He'll never change. Give it a month or two, if that. He'll get bored, twitchy, and he'll be off again. Well, you better keep Tom on a tight rein then.
Mum.
Well, he thinks the sun shines out of your father, copies him in everything else. You don't want him copying in that, though, do
you?
Don't
be silly.
Well, do you know what your father used to call it? When he was a bit tipsy and boasting to me of all his conquests. He used to call it chasing tail. Charming expression, isn't it?
That nightingale's just too much.
Is it real? Or have you hidden a tape recorder?
All in with a price.
There's another pancake roll here. Anybody want it?
Oh, don't. I couldn't eat another thing.
I must say it was a stroke of genius, Tom, the takeaway. Who wants to start cooking on a moving in day? Not my wife, certainly.
Well, wherever you go, no matter how far out in the wild you get,
there's always a Chinese within easy reach.
You sure nobody wants that pancake roll?
No, no, thanks. Oh, God, I should say, not full up to here.
Well, if you're sure nobody wants it...
Oh, go on, Tom, for heaven's sake. Honestly, human dustbin.
Well, do you like it? The house.
Like it? It's paradise.
Heaven on earth.
But how did you get it so cheap? I mean, it must be worth at least half as much again.
How do you know what it's worth?
Oh, I know about these things. I read Country Life.
Your father's a businessman. He knows how to drive a bargain.
I remember his mother saying to me, if you sent Victor to market with a cow, she said, he'd come back with a bag of beans. Not magic beans, mind, from which great bean stalks grow. Just beans.
That's hardly fair.
His father said they'd probably be cold, soggy, baked beans. I can't say I wasn't warned.
So, how did you get it for the price?
Oh, charm, I guess.
It's not built over an old mine shaft or something, is it? I mean, it's not going to sink into the earth overnight.
Well, parts of it have managed to stay above ground for 500 years and more. I reckon it'll see us out. Except for Janet, vampires being immortal.
Haunted, then. I bet that's it.
Do you think it might be haunted?
Oh, yes, it's bound to be.
I don't say that. I didn't mean it. I wish I hadn't thought of it now.
You don't believe in that sort of thing, surely?
Of course not.
Oh, I don't know. Just because we've had no truck with ghosts, we mustn't close our minds to the
possibility. Let's talk about something else.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Lucy, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
Look, let's just shut up about it. Do you mind, or I shan't get a wink of sleep?
From the gleam in Tom's eye after that fourth pancake roll, I shouldn't think you will anyway.
Dad.
Sorry. Anyway, if ever a house had a right to be haunted, surely this one has. Think of all the countless generations of folk who've lived and died in it.
That's what I'm trying not to think of.
I should think there'd be the whole repertoire. Grey ladies, headless roamers, moaners, groaners, spine-chilling screamers.
Don't!
Chain rattlers, disembodied voices, echoing
Stop
footsteps.
Stop it!
Great globs of ectoplasm slurping about, staining the carpets.
I went to follow Lucy. I just happened to look back at Victor and Janet. They were just looking at each other. I say looking. I never saw two people look at each other with such loathing. I heard something drop and break in the kitchen. I thought it must be where Lucy had gone. But when I got there, the kitchen was empty, just broken glass all over the floor.
I heard it too. I'd gone to the car to get my radio.
Lucy was very jolly at breakfast next morning.
After all, it'll be 8 or 10 weeks before Tom and Dad need to get bogged down with any work. We can all just enjoy being together. Well, I was doing my best.
Bustling about. Trying to get everybody to join in. Even got Victor washing up.
You were too busy feeding your face.
Yeah, all right, so I've got a good appetite. Janet wasn't having any, though. She just had a cup of coffee and sulked a bit and went back to bed.
Hammond, please.
They were just at the sink behind me. The kitchen table's placed with one edge against the wall. The inner wall, that is, away from the window. The chairs around the other three sides. The sun was streaming in. I was just staring at the tabletop, in that sort of vacant way you do when you're not thinking of anything much and you're still waking up. And then, a hand came up out of the tabletop. It came straight up through the cloth between the sugar bowl and the toast rack, as if it was coming up out of water, except there weren't any ripples.
A hand, you say?
A hand.
What sort of hand?
Old and calloused and very wrinkled, sort of dark, leathery colour.
But what was it doing?
It sort of groped about for a bit, then it seemed to find what it was looking for and clutched hold of it. A banister rail? Might have been a rope. Like they used to have on old staircases. Anyway, I saw the muscles tighten as it pulled. And then an old man started to come up out of the tabletop, just coming up through all the mats and bits and pieces. It was as if he was climbing a staircase. Well, he was. He was climbing a staircase. Except there wasn't one. He kept on coming up, sort of curving round as he did, as if it was a sort of spiral. It seemed to be a terrible effort for him. When he was up to about knee-deep in the table, he stopped for a rest.
What did he look like?
Big man, all hunched up with age, but huge. Couldn't see his face. Head was sunk forward, right into his chest.
But what was he like? What was he wearing?
A sort of smock thing.
You saw him too?
And not that time.
And he wears... Well, they could be leggings, or they could be ragged trousers, tied round with twine and bits of thong, you know, like country folk do in the old photos, you see. He had a hat on, too. That was another reason I couldn't see his face. Shapeless, uneven brim. Bit like a flower pot.
I'm just going to get some of those logs in.
Okay.
What happened?
Well, he set off again once he'd rested, going up and round and started to go through the wall.
About 6 feet up?
That's right.
Does it make sense to you?
I remember now. When we were doing that room, we found remnants of a doorway, the filled-in shape, in the stonework of that wall. We guessed there must have been a staircase there at some point. Go on.
Well, that was about it. Oh, one thing. He wasn't in our light.
How do you mean?
Well, it was bright and sunny in the kitchen, yet he was just lit in a dull orange glow, flickering like firelight. And those parts of him that weren't lit from that direction... Well, they just weren't there.
And you didn't say anything all this time?
No. Just mesmerised, I suppose. And you see, I didn't really believe it was happening.
And neither you nor your father saw anything?
Not this time, but we weren't looking. I was trying to think of things to bring them together, and he was struggling in and out with armfuls of logs, determined to have a fire even though it was hot.
This light, this orange glow, was it coming from the fireplace?
Yes. Now you mention it, I suppose it was.
So it was the same fireplace.
So you believe us this time?
I'd better for now. I'll tell you when I stop.
But where was he coming from?
From the cellar. There was a staircase that came up into the kitchen, an old wooden thing, all worn paper thin. We didn't want it, so we took it out and floored over the well of it. It must have once been part of a complete staircase that went right up to that bricked-up arch, going to the upstairs. And he just walked out then, through the wall.
Well, he looked up, as if he was trying to hear something. His back was to me that time, so I still couldn't see his face. Then he carried on up. As his feet came up out of the table, I saw that he'd got these great heavy square-toed boots on. The last thing I saw of him, in fact, were the soles, shod with iron, like clogs, but heavier, like horseshoes, almost.
So you believe us this time?
I think I must. And is that it, then?
That was just the beginning.
What did the others say when you told them?
I didn't. Not till much later.
Oh, come on, Tom, don't take all day over it. Are you coming?
Yeah, yes, come, just coming.
What's up with you, then? Look as if you've seen a ghost.
What's the matter? Why did you shiver?
Don't know. Somebody walked over my grave, I suppose.
But wasn't there any sound?
Not till later.
Soundtrack always followed on.
What do you mean, soundtrack?
It's always the same to begin with. You never got the sound and the man in sync with each other.
Yes, usually the appearance came first and then the sound came later.
Sometimes a few minutes, sometimes an hour or more.
Oh, it really got on your nerves.
I can imagine it would.
It must have been more than an hour behind that time. We'd been out in the sunshine, splashing about in the stream, clearing some of the fallen branches. It was beginning to get blocked.
Don't tell me. It was that sort of thing I couldn't keep up with.
But the axe was blunt. We weren't making much progress.
Look, it's going to take forever like this. You two take a break. I'm going to go and put a proper edge on this axe.
Do you want a hand?
No, it's okay. There's a grindstone in the barn. There's bound to be an oil stone and all that debris. Why don't you two go and explore a bit? We can carry on with this later.
I could do with a drink. I'm parched.
Shall I get us a beer?
There's some in the fridge if you want some. I'm more of a fizzy pot, personally. There's a litre of lemonade in the diner.
I'll get it. We could take it with us and see what's over the hill.
Oh, right. I'll wait here.
I'd almost forgotten what I'd seen earlier. I certainly wasn't thinking about it as I opened the back door and went into the kitchen.
Please. Dad. Don't. There's no reason. This is wrong, what that doing to me. There's no reason. I can't see thee yet, but I know thou here. If I don't thee down, I make thee rue. And if thou wilt leave me be, then best beware of me.
I was out again like a rocket.
Tom? Tom, where are you going?
Nowhere. Just coming.
Where's the lemonade?
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
Honestly, I'll go.
No. Come on, let's go and explore.
I'm thirsty.
Come on.
Oh, gosh, but you're masterful.
Sorry, I didn't mean to...
Don't stop it, I like it.
We went over the stepping stones and started up the hill. We were about halfway up the hill, and looking back, we saw Victor standing just inside the conservatory. He was looking down at Janet, sort of weighing the axe in his hands.
Dad!
He didn't see us, but he must have got the general direction.
He came out of the house and over the stepping stones. We ducked down and hid in the bracken.
We were just being daft, really.
He was coming up the hill towards us. He still had the axe.
We were crawling round to get to either side of him.
We just meant to jump up and surprise him.
Silly, really.
But halfway up the hill, he stopped, as if somebody had called out to him from near the house.
He said afterwards that he felt as if somebody had. Not that he could remember actually hearing anything.
He stood there, looking back for a minute, and he saw...
Or thought he saw.
Well, we thought we saw it too. Somebody standing under that tree, by the stepping stones, on the house side of the stream.
The hawthorn.
He started down towards it, but then it seemed as if the person had gone, as if it was just a shadow.
Anyway, he started across the stepping stones.
And what do you think you're going as?
Oh, it's you. Didn't look like you.
You look like a gnome in a fairy story, one of the seven dwarfs or something.
Hey-ho, hey-ho. Oh.
Take more than a man-sized axe to make you look like a man. Whoops! Careful!
Careful, Victor. Some of those stepping stones need resetting.
Oh-hoo! Douglas Fairbanks, no less.
Then he overbalanced and teetered for a minute.
Look out! Going!
going...
Then he fell, right into a deep bit. He went right under and came up again. Mum was just about bursting. She was staggering back towards the house, holding herself.
I don't see what's so funny!
He was furious. He scrambled up out of the water and slung a stone at her.
You bitch!
Would have cracked her skull if it had hit her.
She dodged it easily, though. Just made her laugh all the more.
He swung the axe over his head and buried it in the tree she'd been leaning on.
Not the hawthorn.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
I'm afraid he went mad at it. Just hacked and hacked at it till...
It took us the rest of the day to unblock it from the stream.
It was that night, though, that it all really started. Our second night in the house.
It clouded over in the afternoon, and it got dark quite early. There wasn't any moon. We were all shattered after coping with the tree.
Dad was ever so embarrassed, and, well, of course, Mum just kept rubbing it in about his temper. Well, once she'd gone up, we all followed suit.
Must have been about 1 o'clock in the morning.
10 past. We looked at the clock. But Tom was in my room, you see, and we heard this noise.
According to Victor, he was fast asleep as far as he knew, and then, suddenly, he was awake. And there was this voice in the darkness.
Please, please, thou art wronging me. I will make thee see that. I will harm thee lest that persists. I will heed me, though, else it'll be worse for thee. Don't use me thus. What reed hast thou to thine?
He couldn't move at first. He was that scared.
I'll find thee if thou carries on thus. Then it'll be worse for thee, please. While they're gone, let me go.
When he did get up, he couldn't see
anything. Oh, God.
Couldn't remember where the light switch was. Kept banging into things. He found the light by accident in the end. But there wasn't anything to see. Just the voice going on and on.
Please show this then. Let me reason with thee. Doesn't he know what I'm doing?
He kept moving away from it, but it seemed to be following.
Get away.
I won't harm thee. If thou give over now, give over and let things be. Let me be. Let me go. Let me be.
By the time he got to the door and opened it, we were outside on the landing.
There wasn't anything to see, just this awful voice going on.
Please, please, don't be blood, I tell thee. Please let me go. Do you use me like this? I'm now to thine, now to do with thee. Nay, but if thou dost not, and if I can find thee, then I cause to regret it, I tell thee.
The voice, the footsteps, suddenly charged towards us and ran through us, across the landing and straight out through the wall of the house.
What's happened?
Has it gone?
I'll find thee. I'll find thee. Please. Please, the mon, let me go.
It's through the wall, outside the house.
Please, please, show the scent. Come and face me. Don't escape from me. But I mun beg thee face to face.
It was moving away, sort of downwards. As we went down the stairs to the hall, it seemed to be moving with us, but on the other side of the wall.
There used to be an outside staircase.
Oh, that would explain it exactly.
Until we came to the hall, then it carried on down. Suddenly it was underneath us, under our feet, under the floorboards.
The cellar. Come on.
We had to go out of the kitchen door and round the side of the house to get to the cellar door.
Then, of course, we hadn't got the key, so we had to go back to the kitchen again.
We all went.
It was like the Keystone Cops.
We none of us wanted to be on our own.
We were tapping the walls, trying to find a hollow bit.
Please, don't use me like this. Please, let me go.
It sounded exactly as if somebody was behind the brickwork. Very close.
Please. Just here. It's hollow.
Looks like what's left of an old oven. Chimney breast or whatever.
He's trapped.
Pickaxe, anything.
Sledgehammer, in the corner.
Oh, quick, oh, quick, he's trapped.
I've got it. Look out.
Oh, quick, knock it down.
I only hit it once. Far too hard. The whole lot fell down round our feet.
We were scrabbling about in the broken bits of brick like desperate people.
As if we were rescuing the victims of some terrible accident.
There's nothing here.
There must be.
Where else could he be?
What the hell do you think you're all doing? Have you gone mad? Don't you know what time it is?
Of course. She wouldn't believe a word of it.
Especially the next morning.
But we've told you in detail what happened. We were all three of us there, for heaven's sake. We can't all three be imagining it, can we? Well, can we, you stupid woman, honestly?
I don't know what you're all up to. Some complicated joke, I expect.
Joke, Mum?
But I think it's pretty shabby, don't you? I mean, you all know that I desperately need my rest at the moment. I'm still on medication. And having my sleep disturbed can be very harmful to me.
But
you can't think we're making it all up.
Of course she can. It's the way her mind works. Look at us. We didn't want to be woken in the night to start demolition work, you know. Look at us. We're all shattered.
Well, you've only yourself to blame, haven't you?
But, Mum...
It's no good. She'll never believe
us. How could I believe such a ridiculous tale? Of course, I can guess whose idea it was, all right.
We cleared up the mess in the cellar and tried to sort our heads out. That was when I told them what I'd seen in the kitchen and heard. It was the same voice.
So... there's obviously something.
Can't be any doubt. We've all heard it, and Tom's actually seen it. Him. Whatever he is.
You scared?
Well, I'm not going to pretend that I like it. Yes, I am, though not as much as I thought I'd be.
Of course, we mightn't see anything else for ages. I mean, it might only happen on certain days of the year, certain times.
Might have something to do with time, you mean? Mm. Some sort of loop.
Yes, it might be.
There's always a rational explanation.
You don't think rational is quite the word for what we're talking about?
Oh, there's always some sort of logic to these manifestations.
Manifestations?
Well, there is.
All right, but don't let's start talking about it in Reader's Digest language or quoting bits out of paperbacks you've read on trains. We've got a ghost. We probably haven't seen all it can do yet. When we have, when we've seen his whole repertoire, then we've got to decide whether or not we can go on living in the same house with him. And what if he's got friends? A whole family of them, perhaps.
You said you weren't scared.
I said I wasn't as scared as I expected to be. That's not the same thing at all.
Look. We'd better make a pact. If one of us sees or hears anything, they immediately get hold of the others.
Yeah. That shouldn't be difficult to keep. If I'm on my own and I see anything, I shall scream the place down.
Right, I'm going up to have a bath. I'm covered in brick dust.
We all went up to wash and change. Victor was sitting on the window seat in his bedroom, waiting for the bath to fill.
He said he was watching Janet.
Oh, yes, she was asleep in the conservatory. He could see her down through the glass roof.
He just happened to look round for no good reason, and there was this man, halfway across the room from the bathroom to the landing door.
What the hell's...
He was going to call out to him. Then he realised he wasn't all there.
Not complete.
Like when I first saw him. He wasn't in the same light, our daylight. This time it was coming from a stub of candle carried in his bare hand. Whatever wasn't lit by that, or was in shadow, just wasn't there at all.
Okay. Tom! Tom! Lucy!
As we got to the door, he stopped. He'd been shuffling slowly forward. Then he stopped and just stood there.
Oh, sod it!
Victor knocked a chair over, but the man just stood there, didn't seem to notice. His head was down. The hot wax was running down the back of his hand. He didn't seem to notice that either.
He's got these mottled sort of hands, discoloured, you know, like old people get.
Like mine.
Oh, I didn't mean...
He lifted up his head then, though.
Oh, no. Just look at him.
Shh, shh,
that's him. That's the man I saw. I don't think he can see or hear us.
We can't hear him either. Look.
Well, he seems to be shouting.
Look at the expression on his face.
It's also... like a silent film. Are you scared?
Of course I'm flipping scared. But it's broad daylight.
Look.
What's he doing?
He seems to be fiddling with something. A bolt?
But there's no door.
There is for him. Look, he's undoing bolts.
Sliding them back?
Yeah.
They're stiff.
Now he's lifting a latch and opening the door.
There isn't a door.
There is for him. What's he looking for?
He's calling out again.
Shouting.
Look at his face. God, look at it.
He's like a wild animal.
No, I'm really scared.
He's coming through.
Looking behind the door. Calling again.
I wish he wouldn't lift his head like that. Oh, that's better.
Seems to have given up. He's closing the door.
Look out!
Tom!
Where'd he go?
Straight out onto the landing. Through that wall again.
He went straight through you.
Didn't you feel anything?
No, not a thing.
Well, I mean, what do you say in these circumstances? What do you do? What do they do in horror films?
They usually dissolve to a bright daylight scene at this point.
But it is bright daylight. At least it is for us. He was in a different time of day altogether.
When I first saw him, he was in firelight, now candlelight. Perhaps it's always night where he is.
Poor old man.
I thought you were scared.
Of course I was. Still, he's a bit, well, tragic as well, isn't he? Looks desperate.
Pretty fierce, though.
Yes. Whoever he was looking for, I hope he never found them.
What do you mean, whoever he was looking for?
Well, he's obviously looking for somebody and pleading with them and threatening, as if it's some sort of... Well, if it is some sort of time loop or whatever you call it, then I suppose he must be going through the same motions over and over that he went through long ago. I just wonder what happened in the end.
It's something to do with his wife. I mean, he's got that look. That misused married man. As if he was married to Janet begging for release.
Dad!
Of course, she'll never believe us.
Well, who cares? We know.
Last night, the disembodied voice. Today, the voiceless body.
If it's the same one.
But any doubts we had on that score were settled straight away.
Please. Please. Hatner, dear.
The soundtrack caught up.
Come out! Come on out and show this in! I know what it is thou doing. Wickedness, thou doing. We're a connoisseur.
The bolts! A latch!
Will ye never cease to wrong me? Am I known to be free of thee never again? Thou dost not know, but I'll make thee see! I'll make thee!
Oh, no!
He's not synchronized.
That just makes it worse as far as I'm concerned. It means you get every visit in two installments.
Perhaps next time he'll have got it together.
I don't want any next times.
Do you think it might be us he's looking for?
I don't know, it's possible, I suppose.
Oh, look, just don't even suggest that.
What are you all doing up there?
Oh, my God. Well, who's going to try telling her?
I suppose you know there's water coming through the lounge ceiling.
Oh, my God. The bath!
The ghost made a whole series of appearances over the next few days.
Yes. I wouldn't say we got used to him. I mean, it wasn't a case of familiarity breeding contempt, but, well, it got a bit easier.
There was a sort of pattern about his doings over that few days. Still plodding around, searching, pleading, sometimes very threatening.
We convinced ourselves, at least I convinced myself, that he was stuck in a groove and couldn't ever actually touch us, our lives. Sort of condemned to wander, looking for somebody as long dead as himself.
We kept feeling we ought to do something.
Don't you think we ought to tell somebody?
I don't see why, really. I mean, it's our house now, so I suppose it's our ghost.
I said that might be the reason it was so cheap.
There'd have to be a catch for your father to get a bargain.
I thought you didn't believe in it.
Even so.
Anyway, who could we tell?
You'd better complain to the old woman who sold it to you.
I feel pretty foolish.
But then you are.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Janice, shut your stupid mouth.
Just stop it, both of you, like a pair of fudgy kids.
Now, that'll do, Lucy.
Well, you are.
Might be worth talking to the old woman. What's her name?
Mrs. Wilberforce. Well, she seemed genuine enough. She could see I was smitten with the place. She could see I was offering as much as I could afford, and a bit more, even. I didn't think she was having me on.
She knew a sucker when she saw one.
Where is she now?
Not far off. Some classy old folks' home a few miles off towards Buxton. But honestly, I don't think I could go to her and say, now look, about this ghost.
Well, I still think we should tell somebody. The local vicar, perhaps.
It's a bit traditional, isn't it? Anyway, I'd still feel an absolute prat. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any local fear of the place. Folk I've spoken to in shops, villages around, they all seem quite envious. Postman calls here, the milkman. It's not as if they give us funny looks or cross themselves and scuttle off.
The vicar
it
might
wouldn't
be
at all suitable for you to involve a clergyman in your ridiculous game.
I suppose modern vicars don't believe in this sort of thing any more than most other folk anyway.
But there are experts, psychics or whatever, spiritualists.
Oh.
People are always writing articles in the supplements or doing teleprograms about ghosts and the paranormal and things.
No, I'm not having a crowd of nutters with tape recorders and thermometers crawling about the place getting vibrations. Anyway, he's not doing us any harm.
Yes, at any rate.
I'd rather have him here than the nutters any day of the week.
Well, honestly.
What's the matter with you?
Just listen to you, calling other people nutters.
Why don't you believe us?
I know just what you're doing.
Oh,
it's
come
another
on.
Way of getting at me. You know I have difficulty sleeping. I have to take pills every night of my life. This is just your way of trying to worry me. Well, it's typical.
Oh, God.
For somebody who has difficulty sleeping, Janet seems to be able to get her head down at any time of the night or day. Straight after that, she was back in her recliner in the conservatory. Like one of those characters in a comic. The balloon over its head and a log being sawn.
It was only by chance that we saw the door open.
It didn't make any sound, but it was our door. Usually he still came and went through invisible doors that belonged to his time. Now it was our door, our latch too.
And he was complete this time. No missing bits.
Yes, he was in the same place and very nearly in the same time. He was certainly in our daylight. He lifted his head up and there was that same terrifying expression of hatred.
Oh, no. Tom, Dad.
But then he looked puzzled and a bit scared.
But sort of triumphant too. He was seeing our things. Our kitchen, for the first time.
That's when we knew for certain it was us he was looking for. His lips were moving, but there was no sound. He seemed to be bellowing, as if he was trying to get across a gap.
He looked pretty scared of the fridge and the sink and the dishwasher.
Yes, he stayed right away from them. He obviously recognised the larder door, though. He went to it and opened it suddenly, as if he expected to find somebody inside. Then he shut it and started to shuffle around the room.
Look out!
He was almost running.
And so were we. It must have looked ridiculous, like blind man's buff.
Then Dad tripped.
Ow!
Got stuck against the sink.
And the ghost shuffled right through him.
Look out!
Victor!
As if he'd heard.
I'm sure he heard. Well, he heard something anyway. Even though I think it sounded a long way off to him. He stood there, listening, with his head on one side. We were too frightened to breathe.
Felt like ages. Then he gave up. Just shook his head and shrugged hopelessly. And sort of collapsed into himself again.
That was when he went and sat in the chair, though. Our chair. He looked exhausted.
Look out. Here comes the bloody soundtrack.
We all sprinted into the garden.
He's using our things.
I'm sure he heard us shout. He seems to be getting closer to us.
He really saw the room the way it is now. He's in our house now, not his.
When he walked through you, what did you feel?
I don't know quite. Sort of jolt, like a shock. Made me jump.
We'll have to tell somebody. We can't go on like this.
Well, he's not doing us any actual harm, I suppose.
He hasn't found us yet. He's looking hard enough, though.
We still don't know it's us he's looking for. In any case, he isn't tangible. He can't even touch us. So how can he harm us?
He touched the door. He opened and closed it. And the larder door. And he went and sat in the chair. He didn't fall through it. Our chair, the one we only brought into the house a week ago.
How long has it been in that position? The chair, I mean.
That's a point. I moved it there yesterday morning. It was on the other side of the fire, but it didn't suit your mother there, so I moved it.
There you are, then. He's only a day behind at most. Well, probably only hours or minutes. So what happens when he catches up?
None of us could imagine. We didn't see him for the rest of the day, but, well, that night...
Oh, dear.
Victor had this dream.
We only need the expurgated version.
There's no point in hiding anything. If Mrs. Wilberforce is being patient enough to listen to us, we can't go leaving things out.
It's just so embarrassing. You might be shocked.
Nay, love. When you get to my age, you don't get shocked very often.
I'll tell it as Victor told it to us.
Savouring every detail. Honestly, my own father.
It was a dream. Must have been a dream. But it was one of those dreams that seem absolutely real. You have to keep reminding yourself that you're only dreaming. I was roaming about the house. Everything I bumped into or touched was solid and tangible. I bumped into things quite a bit. I didn't seem to be properly coordinated. I was searching for something. I didn't know what, but I'd got this desperate feeling, this urgency, and I was looking for something. I was opening doors, looking into rooms, all the downstairs rooms. I didn't switch the lights on, though. I wondered why I didn't, but I didn't. I was searching meticulously, looking under tables, behind chairs and curtains, anywhere that a person might have been hiding. Everything seemed to be as we'd left it when we went to bed, so it was the same night, if you see what I mean. I searched all the downstairs rooms and the conservatory. And then I came into the hall, and I went to climb the stairs. I climbed the stairs, looking all around me, as if I expected to find hidden doors or something. I walked the full length of the landing, so it was definitely this house. I mean, the way it is now, not the house of the past. I went right down to the far end until I came to Janet's door. I lifted the latch and went in. The light was on. She was in bed. She'd fallen asleep, half propped up on the pillows with a book in her hand. Her mouth was open. She was snoring. Curlers in her hair. Not a pretty sight. And I suddenly hated her guts. I mean, really. I loathed her. I hated her. All the rows, the vindictiveness that'd been between us over the years, it just took me over. I was stumbling towards her with my fists in the air. I just wanted to beat her and beat her. Beat her flat. Out of existence. I was blind with rage. Things just blurred over. I couldn't quite see. It's like when you've had drops in your eyes at the optician's, yeah? And I kept blinking. And when it cleared, she wasn't there anymore. The covers were thrown back. The book was lying there, but she'd gone. I was still furious. I spent my fury ripping the book apart and scattering it all over the room. Well, after a bit, I just felt foolish. Book was in pieces. I was gasping for breath. Didn't seem to have my normal wind. I left the room and I went back to my searching. I looked in the spare room, and then Tom's room. Nobody there.
I expect I was...
The bathroom, then. And I opened the door of your room, Lucy.
Oh, dear.
The bedside light was on, and the two of you were stretched out, naked, together, making love.
Ah, well, I...
No, don't be silly. I wasn't angry. I'm not angry. You looked so lovely together. Beautiful. Such a lot of tenderness and caring for one another. Such, well, joy. I was thunderstruck, hypnotized. It wasn't voyeurism. Not parental anger or jealousy. Even though I was envious. Wasn't even any sexual excitement about it. It was just, well, you were so beautiful. And I just felt sad. Wistful, envious. Full of loneliness. You were so caring for each other, so loving and passionate, adoring.
Dad.
You kept looking at me, Lucy, but not seeing me. Your head was rolling from side to side. And then...
And then I saw him. The ghost. The old man. He was there by the bed, looking down at us, just looking sad, tragic. He was crying.
Your scream woke me. I was in my bed. I got up, ran to the door. You were still screaming.
It's all right now. We're all right.
There you both were on the landing, just as I'd seen you. Tom was still naked. He'd wrapped you in the quilt.
What on earth's going on here? God. I see. So.
Of course, there was a blazing row about me being in Lucy's room at all, let alone with no clothes on and her wrapped only in a quilt. About us all ganging up on her, trying to give her a nervous breakdown. So we could have her certified and put away. Well, at last she stamped off back to her room saying she was going to take an extra dose of sleeping tablets and we'd better be careful because it could be dangerous to disturb her again.
We went downstairs and made some coffee.
I don't understand it, though. I mean, surely I'm not the ghost.
But from that minute onwards, the ghost started a really energetic series of appearances and recitations.
All night it went on, through into daylight. Sometimes he was in our house, the way it is, and sometimes not. You could tell by whether he used the doors or whether he just came in and out any old way. We were more scared of waking Mum than we were of him.
He got very threatening about 7 o'clock.
Come out and show this in! Quit your skulking, come on out! Let me see it again!
It was time for breakfast when he finally ran out of steam. Not long after, Janet was up and about and bollocking the... Oh, sorry.
Don't mind me.
One really odd thing, though.
She brought a book down with her. It was all in pieces. She made great play out of sticky taping it together, looking daggers at Victor all the time.
We were like zombies that morning.
I should just think you were.
We were pottering about, trying to look busy, but not really achieving anything. Victor gave up about 11 o'clock and fell asleep by the stream.
We were just dropping off in the conservatory when the vicar arrived.
Not old Bartholomew.
That's right.
That must have been all you needed after a night like that. Silly, whinging little man.
We were quite grateful to him, as it turned out. But, well, he's a bit eccentric, isn't he?
Oh, I think they teach them those sort of eccentricities at theological college to make up for lack of personality.
Mrs. Palmer, my name's Bartholomew. I'm the vicar of the parish, St. Matthew's, you know.
Why, how delightful. Please come in, Mr. Bartholomew. How kind of you to call on us. I had been intending to call on you, but I've been that busy. Come through to the sitting room, won't you?
Janet's father, my grandfather, was a vicar. She always treats them like they were the nobility or something. Really pukey.
Not at all, not at all. I really must apologise, being so long, you know, welcoming you. Busy time of the year. Busy time.
Lucy. Tom.
But then, aren't they all? Aren't they all? I lost my curate, you know.
Really? How tiresome. My daughter, Lucy.
Hello.
And her fiancé, Tom.
Young people. Need young people.
Oh, good. You lost your curate, you were saying?
Yes, gone to spread his wings.
A parish of his own?
Oh, no, he died.
Lucy?
Never was very strong, but then neither am I. Neither am I. But we, the living, must soldier on, eh?
I don't think this vicar's going to be much help.
Not a lot.
Made an awful lot of extra work for me, you know.
Oh, it must have. Please sit down. Can I get you anything?
No, 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 please.
Cup of tea?
No, no, really.
Sherry? Whiskey?
Well, I might just have a tiny scotch, if it's no trouble.
It's here on the sideboard. Tom?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes, a bit of pick-me-up. Haven't been at all well, you know.
Oh, dear. Please, sit down.
Oh, yes. Weight off my feet, eh? Weight off my feet.
That's when the ghost came in.
Yes. Just as Mr. Bartholomew was heading for the best chair, the ghost came in through the door.
I should think the old whinger had a seizure, didn't he?
Didn't see him, though they were both heading for the same chair.
Luckily, the vicar was walking backwards and sort of nodding and bowing to Janet, so he didn't see that the ghost had got there before him.
What did your mother do?
That's what was so odd.
Annoying, really.
We thought she'd be flabbergasted, scared even. She just looked furious.
The ghost had got there first, as I said, and just sat there sulking with its lips muttering, but no sound yet. Mr. Bartholomew sat right on it.
More like in it.
Yes, it made this really awful double image.
Thank you. Thank you. I mustn't stay, mind. Rushed off my feet. Right off my feet. Not right, is it? Not good for a man of my age.
The ghost was sitting bolt upright and very still, clutching the arms of the chair.
Mr. Bartholomew, though, he wasn't sitting still. He was sort of rocking backwards and forwards as he prattled on.
Just can't get any dependable help in the parish these days. All my old stalwarts gone before. No sooner find replacements than they follow suit. Leave me to cope, eh? Hardly fair.
When he rocked back, he vanished altogether into the ghost. The ghost being a lot bulkier than him, you see.
But every time he rocked forward, sort of leaning on every third or fourth word with a sort of thrust, he kept bursting out of the old man's skull.
It's hardly fair, you know.
Gosh.
That's awful.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. But can I get them to see that?
That was when the voice caught up.
Luckily it was one of the ghost's quiet, muttering, self-pitying performances.
The vicar half rose, as if to meet somebody. Then he looked a bit puzzled and vanished into the ghost again. Didn't stop him rattling onward.
That'd take an earthquake.
I think he thought it was a radio or something in the other room.
They just don't understand. They just don't care, it seems to me.
It was very hard to concentrate on what either of them was saying, though. What, with the vicar's toothy face forever bursting out of the cranium of this mumbling old man.
And so I can depend on you, can't I?
Blood, I tell me.
Can't I, Mrs. Palmer?
What? Sorry?
Even Janet was hypnotized.
I say I can depend on you, can't I?
Oh, yes, yes, of course you can, Mr.
Bartholomew.
Bartholomew, Mr. Bartholomew, yes.
You young people especially, eh? Time you took a bit of the burden off your elders, eh? So unreliable, you young people these days. But I shall definitely see you on Sunday, shan't I? I can depend on that at least, can't I?
Yes. Well, I don't know.
Yes, of course you can.
Sure I want to.
Say yes, for heaven's sake. Let's just get rid of him. It's really beginning to turn my stomach.
Yes, we'll be there.
Good. Good. I shall count on that, then. Don't let me down now. Must go now. Run off my feet. Too much for one man. But can I make them see?
One thing about him, though. Once he said he was going, he set about doing it.
He might have gone without ever seeing the ghost if he hadn't turned round to plump the cushion up that he'd been sitting on.
It took him a minute or two to focus on the fact that his hands, plumping the cushions, were sunk to the elbows in an old man's entrails.
He fainted.
He banged his head on the fender and knocked his glasses off.
One of the lenses fell out.
Well, don't just stand there. Help him up.
What'll he say when he comes round, I wonder?
Might be able to do us an exorcism.
Stop being facetious. He might be dead.
No, his pulse is strong enough.
Get him up. And as for you...
She was livid with the ghost.
How dare you? Get out of here. Go on, out. Shoo.
He gave no sign of having heard, but he got up and went just the same.
Tom, can't you do something about his glasses?
Just trying to get the lens back. Yes.
When the vicar revived, though, he didn't seem to remember the ghost at all.
Fatigue.
Seemed quite delighted. Took the glasses I'd mended for him without a word of thanks.
That's what it is. Fatigue. Too much. Now perhaps they'll take some notice.
Lucy and I saw him out. He made us promise to act as witnesses, if the need arose, to prove to them that he really had fainted. Went off, humming a little tune to himself.
When we went back to the lounge, Mum wasn't there. We went through to the conservatory, thinking surely she couldn't deny the ghost's existence now. She wasn't there either. I looked out into the garden, to where Dad was asleep by the stream. He was still there. The ghost was standing over him, with a huge stone raised over its head, as if it was going to smash it down onto him.
Oh, Dad!
I ran down over the grass towards him, but when I got there, it was Mum who turned to face me. The stone was on the ground by Dad's head.
What's the matter? Something wrong, Lizzie?
What happened then?
Well, nothing particular for a few days. The ghost came and went, but not as much as he had been doing.
Janet was more of a plague than he was at that time. She nearly drove us potty.
I'll say. And she wouldn't have any talk of the ghost, wouldn't even let us discuss it amongst ourselves. She seemed to be brooding about it a lot, though, and she was in a foul mood all the time.
Well, she was getting more and more tired, and that wasn't helping. She must have stopped taking her sleeping pills. At any rate, she stopped all that dozing in the daytime. Always up and about. Spying on us is the only way I can describe it. Forever jumping out on us when we didn't expect it and asking us what we thought we were doing.
She didn't sleep at night, either.
No. For somebody who'd been kipping 18 hours out of every 24, she suddenly never seemed to sleep at all.
We'd hear her clumping about at all hours of the night.
Not being one to respect the slumbers of others.
And she'd be crashing about in the kitchen at 2 a.m, making omelettes.
Not eating them. Just leaving a sink full of washing up for us to do in the morning.
What, from an omelette?
Exactly.
Then she'd come back up the stairs, stamping along with her smoker's cough.
She'd throw open the door of my room and switch the light on to make sure I wasn't where I shouldn't be.
She even took to banging on Dad's door and not stopping till he replied. A couple of times she actually went into his room and shook him till he woke up.
When he asked her what the hell she wanted, she just gave him a look and stamped out again.
She was looking dreadful from lack of sleep.
So were we.
You don't look at all well, Janet. You really should get more rest.
Why don't you take your sleeping pills anymore, Mum? I mean, I never liked you taking them, but they did seem to help.
That's just what you'd like, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's just what you'd like!
Well, one thing about it, the ghost isn't around so much. I mean, with your mother stalking the battlements, who can blame him?
If it's a choice of one or the other, I think I'd pick the ghost.
Perhaps ghosts are like children, though, and animals. They know when people don't like them.
The night before last, though, the ghost put in a special appearance, especially for Janet.
It was awful.
The three of us, Janet and Lucy and me, were watching the telly. Victor was upstairs having a bath. We'd been clearing out the outhouses all day, ready to start building the office, and we were all pretty filthy. I was meaning to go up and have a bath myself, but hadn't the energy. We watched the news, and nobody could be bothered to get up and switch it off.
One of those old B-movie westerns came on. Suddenly, the ghost literally kicked the door open.
Like the gunfighter in the western. And there was no doubt about whose time he was in this time. He was standing in our doorway looking murder at us. At least he was looking murder at Janet.
Now, bitch, I've got this!
It all happened so fast. Janet actually started towards him at first, as if she was going to hit him.
Ah!
He smashed his fist straight into her face and knocked her backwards over the armchair.
Will you, bitch?
I swear that if he could have got at her, she'd fallen sort of behind it. He'd have kicked her to death there and then.
She got up, but he'd got her trapped against the wall in the corner.
I was no help. All I could do was scream.
There wasn't anything we could do. I made a grab to hold him back, but my hands just went straight through him. I mean, he was solid enough to smash the door off its hinges and knock Janet across the room, but I couldn't touch him. He went to hit her again.
Would have smashed her head against the wall, but she'd swung herself away.
You see, the wall was solid enough for him. His knuckles were pouring blood when he pulled his arm back and went after her again.
They were sort of circling the settee. Must have gone round it a couple of times. Mum keeping just out of his way.
He just walked straight through us when we tried to get between him.
He suddenly grabbed the settee and rammed it forward to try and trap her against the wall, but she managed to get out. He fell forward, and that gave her a chance to get to the door. He was after her, but she slammed the broken door back into his face.
His face and nose were streaming blood. She was into the hall and trying to get her way up the stairs, but he caught her another blow between the shoulder blades with the back of his hand and knocked her down.
Then she was crawling up the stairs with him hitting and kicking her.
But then, all of a sudden, the blows weren't landing anymore. He wasn't going up the stairs either, just wading into them, getting deeper. They weren't his stairs anymore. He was slipping out of our time. He obviously couldn't see her anymore, but he was still mouthing and flailing, like a blind man. At the end, there was just his head, on a step as if it had been cut off and stuck there, still screaming and raging. Then he just faded away. Sound and picture faded out.
What the hell's going on? I must have fallen asleep in the bath. What's happened?
You! Bastard!
Get away from me!
I thought Mum was going to kill him.
It took all three of us to restrain her, literally holding her like a mad woman. Then she stopped struggling and went absolutely calm.
I'm going to bed.
And off she went. Bleeding, bruised. Wouldn't let anybody help her. We went down and tidied up as best we could. The telly was still going on as if nothing had happened. But the door was off its hinges, a couple of pieces of furniture were smashed, and there was a trail of blood from the ghost on the carpet. It's still there.
And that was when you came to fetch me?
Yes, the morning after that.
Well, if somebody had taken the trouble to explain as you're doing now, I might have been a bit more understanding. I thought I was just coming for a social visit. I was flabbergasted when your mother just attacked me before I'd got through the door.
Ghost? But, dear me, what ghost?
Oh, dear.
There's never been a ghost here. There isn't a ghost.
Look here, Mrs. Whatever your name is. This isn't going to work on me.
I beg your
pardon. No use doing a sweet old lady act for me. It might fool my husband, that's not difficult.
Don't get
but it cuts
there.
No ice with me.
And your rudeness cuts no ice with me, Mrs. Palmer. I may be old, but I'm not sweet, and I'm not always a lady, neither. I'm very sorry if you've got problems in your head, but I'm not going to take stick from you. If you've just asked me over to listen to your ravings about ghosts and to be abusive into the bargain, you'd better watch out.
I'm warning you. I'm going to sue you for every penny this move's cost us. You're evil.
But there is a ghost, Mrs. Wilberforce. Surely you must have known that when you sold the house to us.
I knew no such thing.
Oh, of course you did.
Of course you did.
Oh, I don't know why I'm wasting my time with you. You should have known you'd face it out. This is a job for a lawyer.
What are you accusing me
I'm
of?
I'm sure my mother didn't mean it like that, but you can see the signs of violence, surely.
I'm sure she does mean it like that. And if there's been any violence here, it's your violence. Nothing to do with the house. This was a happy house. We lived in it and loved it and rebuilt it for 40 years. We raised our children here and our grandchildren part of their lives. If there's anything unpleasant or evil here, it's yours. It's part of your luggage. You carried it in with you. Don't blame me. And don't, for heaven's sake, blame the house. I want to go now, please.
Right.
Will somebody call me Mr. Jarvis with his taxi?
I'll drive you back.
Don't bother, Tom. She can certainly afford a taxi on what I paid her for this place.
Dad!
Well, she can. Your mother's right. I was taken in by a sweet old lady act.
Well, I was certainly taken in by yours. What did they say? No fool like an old fool.
Right.
Well, they're right enough in my case.
I will run you back all the same.
Oh, no, you won't. I'd rather manage on my own.
But you can't. Not on your sticks or our phone.
I don't want you to. I can manage as far as home farm. Ted Francis will let me phone from there.
This is ridiculous. That's best part of a mile. You can't.
You'd be surprised what I can do. I never thought I'd be glad to get out of this house. But just now, I need the fresh air.
We were terribly sorry about that. We'd no idea it'd turn out that way.
I've never seen, well, that side of my father before.
Since then, we felt like, well, like outsiders. I mean, Victor and Janet still go for each other at the drop of a hat, but from then on, it was as if they were together somehow. And against everybody else. Against us, anyway.
We couldn't do a thing right all of a sudden.
They both seemed to drop their masks. Come out into the open. As if they couldn't be bothered to pretend. I mean, they'd never done other than get at each other, but there'd always been some sort of a veneer of a family living together. All of a sudden, it was just two people confronting each other. If they wanted us at all, it was only as weapons.
Of course, she's always said I've never cared, you know, about anybody but myself. But I have. Oh, yes, yes, I have. Don't give tuppence for her, I'll grant you that, but then who could? I do care for Lucy, though. I always have. Oh, yeah. That gets up her nose all right, makes her mad, knowing how much I care for Lucy and not her. And, of course, Lucy's always shown how much she cares for me. No matter how much her mother's tried to poison her against me.
What Lucy would like is to see you both together again. She hoped that moving into this house, well, that it might be a fresh start for you both.
A fresh start? Can you imagine anybody making a fresh start with Janet?
I suppose she must have been all right once. I mean, you must have loved each other once.
Oh, yes, yes, once. I think it was a Wednesday. No, I'd do anything for Lucy, you know that, but making up to Janet is beyond even my powers. If you take my advice, you'll get out. Take her away. Janet won't hesitate to try and hurt me through Lucy.
Well, it's a bit late for that now.
Hmm?
I mean, we talked it over at great length.
Oh.
What money I've ever had, I sunk into this place along with you.
Well, on your head, then. You'd better take care of her, that's all.
I intend to.
See you do, then.
Don't you think we ought to get away from here, though, Marlon? Go and stay somewhere till we can sell up.
What'd be the point?
Well, after last night.
Oh, no. It'd be the same anywhere. I suppose.
I don't know what you mean by that.
No. I don't suppose you do. I suppose you think you're standing at the threshold of Wonderland just now, don't you? Hmm? But life's such a letdown, you see.
I needn't be sure.
Oh, yes. Well, it is if you're stupid enough to believe what they tell you. What they'd have you believe it's all about. If you accept those expectations and expect them. Oh, when you're young, of course, it all seems so credible. Rosy. You expect to fall in love, so you fall in love. I fell in love, you know. I loved your father so much, I used to think I'd burst with it. Just explode into fragments. Used to well up inside me just when I looked at him. Huh. Stupid. Stupid. When we married, We were reckoned to be the golden couple, everybody said. He was the best-looking man you ever saw. And I was, well, I could have had my pick then, you know. Often thought I should have. Often thought that. With one of the others, things might have been different. Oh, it's always the same. Men are always the same. You wake up one day and you see them for what they are, just people. Selfish, mean. Disgusting. Shut up in their own skin when you can't ever really get to them.
Doesn't have to be like that.
Oh, yes, you'll see. It's never any different. You just have to make do with what's left.
Tom and me aren't going to be like that.
You'll see. Well, I'm off for my nap. Woe betide anybody that disturbs me. That's all.
Lucy, sorry. I didn't mean to startle you. Look, I think we should get out of here. I've just got a bad feeling about the whole place. I can't help thinking that if we stay, we're going to get caught up in things we can't control. It's not our business anyway, or it shouldn't be.
I feel the same, but where would we go?
Don't know. At the minute, I think anywhere would be an improvement.
I can't just run out on them. I thought I could help. I ought to stay. I'll understand. If you go, I mean.
I'm not going without you.
I can't. Not yet. Not until...
Until something worse happens. It might be too late then.
I don't know.
Listen, we'll stay. For now. But let's be ready for off. Pack your things so that... Well, so that... Look, you know what I'm trying to say.
I don't know.
Please. I don't understand any of it, but I know it's not our problem. We've our own life to live. Let's just be ready. Please.
All right.
Now.
Well, all right. What about you?
I'm packed already.
I'll go and do it now. Right. Where will you be?
Around the garden or in the conservatory.
Tom?
Yeah?
Kiss me. Hold me for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Aha, a lovebird. Oh, no, 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 please don't break it up on my account. You're perfectly safe at the moment. Janet's out to the wide and doing her sleeping sow impersonation. I'd take the chance and get down to it while you can, if I were you.
It won't be long.
It's all so good for you still, isn't it? All so easy, leisurely, filled with sunshine. You and Lucy, I mean. I expect you think it'll be like that forever.
Well, I hope so. Don't see why it shouldn't.
Of course, I guessed, you know, how it would turn out when I brought you into the family.
How do you mean? Sorry, I don't understand. Brought me into the family.
Well, I did, didn't I? I mean, you were just another of my employees, after all. I mean, why do you think I picked you? Well, it wasn't just out of a hat, I can tell you. Once the export side was big enough to stand on its own, I could just as easily have sold you off to Bennett Brothers with the May Company, just like I did with the rest of them. Now, why would I keep you, do you suppose?
Well, I've been in it with you from day one. I think I'm good at the work.
Oh, no, that wasn't it at all. It was Lucy. I picked you for Lucy. That's why I got her in to help us out at the beginning, when it was just the two of us. She came to us straight from college, and all I had to do was to sit back and watch.
I'm sorry, Victor, I just don't know what you're talking about.
Have you ever looked at Lucy and then looked at Janet? It doesn't need a lot of imagination to see what Lucy will be like in a few years, does it? And all that sweetness and innocence and fun in life will get tired and go sour, and she'll be just as bitchy and cantankerous as her mother. I expect it's happening already. I mean, surely you've noticed the signs.
No, I haven't.
Well, you will. It's always like this to begin with, you know, always wonderful and exciting, breathless and beautiful. That's why some of us spend so much of our lives trying to get back to it, start again with different people. It always goes sour again, though, faster too. The process seems to accelerate. That's how women are, I've found.
Mightn't it be something to do with you?
Oh, she's got you indoctrinated already, That's what they want you to think, of course. That's what they'd have you believe. That's the main drift of their conversation. In fact, I could have done this or that if I hadn't got stuck with you and so forth.
Well, they were quick enough to grab you at the time, though. From the minute they decide they want you in their toy box, they make it bloody difficult for you to get in amongst anybody else's.
I'm sorry, Victor. I really don't want this conversation. I've always had immense respect for you, but, well, when I met Lucy, I thought... I still think it was the best thing that happened to me.
Oh, yes, of course you did. Well, do. That's what I mean. You are like me. I spotted that ages ago. I thought, well, I thought... I wonder how long it'll take for history to repeat itself.
I think I'd better go now. I've got things to do.
I watched you last night, you know. No. I really, this time. Not dreaming. Expect Lucy needed a lot of soothing. After all that business with the ghost attacking Janet like that.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Down by the stream in the moonlight. Naked as two stranded fish on the bank. And as lively. It's beautiful, isn't it? When it's like that. Every touch, every movement seems to be an earth-shattering discovery. Oh, I know, Tom. I've been there a time or two. And watching you, I knew, just as I had in my dream, how much I'd lost. Never really happens again, you see. Not really. Cry as you might.
You know, right?
Why not? I was very moved. We both were.
Both?
Me and the ghost. Yes, I've been watching you for some minutes, hypnotized, and then gradually I realized that I wasn't alone. I looked round to my right, and there he was, 7 or 8 feet away, watching you. His expression of sadness, wistfulness, loss, was, well, just what I was feeling. I saw the tears rolling down his poor, tired old face, just as they were rolling down mine.
Victor.
Don't patronize me! He turned and he looked at me after a minute or two. That brought him back to reality. That got the hatred back into his eyes. Well, I can't stand here gossiping. I've got things to do. I'm going to rig up a word processor in the barn to be going on with. Beginning to get bored already. I don't think I can wait till the workmen come and start on the main installation. I think I'll get a few bits and pieces on the move,
Nay. Madame, damn no rest then. First one and then another. Oh, leave me be. Leave me to rest. I beg thee. Beg thee. I'm not a line. There's no need to torment me. I'd break from thee, but I canna. Nay. But if thou keep me bounden, I shall make thee suffer for it. They'll not use me without paying for it. If I'm to be in torment, then I'll torment thee. If thou'll use me as a weapon, then I'll cut both ways. Thou'll suffer for it! Thou'll suffer for it!
Well, at least let's go out for a bit. We can't just sit around all the time.
In a bit.
What are you reading?
What? Oh, don't know, just staring at it, I suppose.
Well, then, come on. We need some fresh air.
What's that?
It must be Victor. He went out to the barn. Must be chopping wood. Though... he said he was going to fix up a word processor.
It wasn't wood.
I expect he missed.
Help! Help!
Oh, no, what's happening?
Look, out there. It's Victor. The ghost's after him.
He's got the axe. Quick, Tom!
Victor was running for the front door. We ran through into the hall to open it for him, but before we could get there, the felling axe came smashing through the glass panel. We saw Victor pass the side window, heading for the back door.
The kitchen!
The ghost was after him again.
Look out! Get out of the way!
I tried to trip the ghost, threw myself at his legs. Didn't feel anything, he just went straight through me.
Stop! Stop him! Dad!
They were away up the stairs with us running after. It would have been comic if it wasn't so terrifying. Victor ran straight down the landing and smashed his way into Janet's room. The ghost went in after him with the axe raised. Victor was screaming.
Janet! Janet, you bitch! Wake up! Wake up, you cow! Wake up!
When we got to the door,
The ghost had vanished. Victor was shaking Janet like she was a rag doll. She was laughing. The axe was on the floor. Victor went over and picked it up. They were just looking at each other, as if nobody else existed. As if they understood how it worked now.
We left. We didn't get our things. Only coats. We just didn't want to speak to either of them. They wouldn't have noticed us if we had.
We drove off in my car. We've been driving round all day. Well, yesterday it is now. We were too scared to go back, but we didn't know where else to go either. Just kept driving round. Pub to pub, mostly. Drank far too much. In the end, we finished up back at the house. Parked in the drive, looking up at it. Wondering what might have happened while we'd been away.
All the lights were out.
Must have been about 11 o'clock by then.
It was terribly hot. The thunder was rumbling away somewhere and getting nearer. We thought we'd go and sleep by the stream.
I got a rug in the car, and we could always sprint back if the rain came on.
It's no good, Tom. I've got to know if they're all right. It's all so dark and quiet.
We crept up towards the house, came to the windows of the conservatory, all pitch dark and quiet.
Can you see anything?
No. No, too dark.
Wait a minute.
Look, there's no point in creeping about like burglars. If we must go in, let's just go round to the front door. I've got my key.
Tom, I'm sure there's somebody in there.
Can't see anybody.
Look down there. On the floor, I'm sure there's somebody lying there.
No, can't make it out.
I'm sure there is sort of a shape, like a person or two people. I'm sure of it, just lying there.
Probably the pattern in the tiles, or a coat.
It's not. I know it's not.
Just a minute.
What is it?
There's somebody in the lounge. I saw them move. Somebody standing at the window, looking into the conservatory. I'm sure there is. Yes, look. They're moving again. They're opening the door. They're coming in.
Tom. No.
It was Victor. He switched the light on and stepped into the conservatory.
Oh, Tom, no!
He looked as if he was going to be sick, had his hand over his mouth. He kept slipping and holding on to things to keep his balance. The tiles were dark red and shining, like a wet, sticky carpet. The whole floor was covered in blood. And there were two people lying there, naked in the blood.
Tom, it's...
Victor slithered across to them. I was struggling to get the window open. It wasn't locked, but it jams, and I was in a state of panic. It came open, and we went in just as he touched the bodies on the floor. The one on top rolled off. It was me. There was a great gout of congealed blood where my neck should have been. As he turned my body over, the head came off and rolled away. And there was Lucy, all smashed up and cut to pieces and bleeding. It was horrible, doesn't describe it.
I'll see it till the day I die.
Suddenly it was very quiet. We just stood there, the three of us staring at the hacked up bodies. Our bodies, and all that blood. It seemed like ages. And then we realized that there was somebody else there. The ghost was standing in the corner, looking at us with that hatred. He was holding the axe. His arms and clothes were covered in blood, just looking at us, gasping for breath. I slipped and fell on top of Lucy's body. It was really there. And then none of it was there. It all just faded. The bodies were gone. The blood was gone. The axe was lying on the tiles. I heard it fall and clatter. No ghost. Just me where I'd fallen, and Victor and Lucy and Janet looking at us all from the lounge. We stayed like that for a long time.
Come on, Lucy.
Come on. We went upstairs and got our things. I carried them down to the car. When everything was loaded, we thought we ought to... Well, we didn't know what to do.
They were in the kitchen. We wanted to say goodbye.
There was nothing to say. Victor and Janet were facing each other across the table like poker players. Not a flicker or pause in their hatred. They didn't even see us. The ghost sat between them.
Poor old man. He looked drained and broken.
Please. Please. I beg thee. Someone let me go. Release me. I beg of thee. Let me go.
We sat in the car for a bit. Then we came here. As we parked the car in the drive, we could see you through the window there. We just wanted to tell somebody. Thought perhaps you'd understand. Tell us what we should do.
They'll kill each other. We can't just leave them.
Nay, but you must. They left you a long time ago. There's nothing you can do. I doubt they'll kill each other, but if that's what they want...
What they want?
Seems they've nothing else in life but hating each other. It keeps them going, but it'll ruin you. You must get away. Leave them to it. Life, marriage, none of it has to be like that. It's up to you. You've got the choice. Go away. Be good to each other and be happy. But don't let their bitterness spoil you. It happens too often, and folk like that'll use other people if you'll let them. They were using you tonight, or your ghosts, to hurt one another. I'll not pretend to understand it, but I suppose it's got a logic, like you said, Tom. But don't stop around and get caught up in it.
Your marriage wasn't... Well, it was different, I suppose.
Oh, we all do terrible things to each other. Expect far too much of each other. But, yes, it was. Very different. We had rows. By God, you should have heard us. And we neither of us stuck to the straight and narrow all the time. But we loved each other. Respected each other. And we had plenty to do. The kids, the house. It was wonderful. It can be for you. Go on. Stop worrying about them. They're not worrying about you. You're both young with everything in front of you. Get right away. Leave them to it if it makes them happy. I must say, though...
What?
The only one I feel sorry for is the ghost.
In Personal Luggage by Christopher Dennis, John Shrapnel was Victor, Fiona Walker, Janet, Nigel Carrington, Tom, and Lisa Bowerman, Lucy. Jack Watson played the old man, and Lorraine Peters, Mrs. Wilberforce. Simon Carter was the vicar, and Judy Holt, the nurse.